Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins.
The epidemic of sexual violence on college campuses is both rampant and vexingly difficult to tame. A new congressional study out this month found that more than 40% of colleges have not conducted a single sexual violence investigation in the past 5 years.
Today, hundreds of college administrators from around the nation are at Dartmouth College for a summit on how to get a handle on this problem.
The conference comes amidst federal action on the problem as well. Dartmouth is one of 55 schools under investigation for its handling of sexual violence incidents. We're going to talk to the man who organized this conference in just a moment. But first, joining us now from Hanover is WBUR's Fred Tice. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Anthony.
So we've known for a long time that this is a problem on college campuses. Tell us a little bit about this conference and what it's hoping to accomplish.
Well, I think what they're hoping to accomplish is to figure out ways to address the problem of sexual assault on college campuses, for people to share best practices. There are so many questions about how you set up a fair system, how you are fair to the accuser and to the accused, how you deal with the accused once he or she has been found guilty, and can you reincorporate those people onto college campuses. So those are some of the many questions that administrators and senior administrators at colleges across the country are facing. They're really, they have a lot of questions about how it is also that they can comply with Title IX. They don't feel that Title IX, the Department of Justice, or the Department of Education, those are the two institutions that implement them, are always very clear about which way colleges should go. So They're in the dark in many ways, and they're looking for some light.
Fred, I wanted to ask you a question about this that we'll probably hear more from the our next guest who actually organized this conference. But a lot of colleges handle accusations of rape and sexual assault as disciplinary issues rather than crimes reported to the police. What are you hearing from participants there? Are colleges going to continue to investigate and sanction students themselves, or are they looking to get out of that business and bring these kinds of complaints directly to law enforcement?
Colleges understand that under Title IX, they must provide some sort of disciplinary process that is fair to both the person, to the victim, and to the accused. And so I don't think they expect that they're ever going to be able to get out of having to do that kind of enforcement. The question is how much law enforcement will play a role. And we heard something very interesting this afternoon from one of the participants at the conference who had a question. She is she counsels students on sexual assault. She goes with them to the local DA at an unnamed university. And she asked the DOJ and the Department of Education officials, you know, what are you going to do about the fact that every time I go to a DA, the DA says, forget it. I am not prosecuting this case. She has never seen, she says, someone who has prosecuted a case of a student assaulted on campus. Now, that's not true across the country, but that's clearly the experience that some victims have faced, and also some of the folks that those victims turn to at their colleges.
Sure.
The DAs are not there to support them.
Fred, a lot of factors come into the mix here, from alcohol to athletics, the Greek system, big cultural forces. Is there a sense from the schools that this is a problem that they can actually, that they actually have the capacity to address?
Yes. I'm getting the sense from talking to college administrators here at this conference that they're actually quite optimistic about the fact that they can get this problem under control. I think you'll hear more from David Lefak in a moment. His research has given a lot of people hope that they can actually get this problem under control. As I understand his research, and he will explain to you, better to you, it's generally a few men on campus who commit most of the sexual assault. And that is a very encouraging thing for college administrators to hear, because they feel they can deal with that problem.
All right, that's WBUR's Fred Tice reporting from Dartmouth College from the conference on sexual misconduct. Fred, thanks so much for joining us today. We're very
grateful. Glad to do it, Anthony.
And we want to talk now with one of the key people at that conference, somebody who has done decades of research on the issue of sexual assault. David Lefak is a former professor at UMass Boston. He's a psychologist who focuses on campus sexual crimes. David, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You just heard Fred Tice, as we did, talk about who's present to this conference and what they're facing. There are parties involved that have dragged their feet for a long time on what is a distressingly persistent activity of sexual violence on college campuses. What reason do you have yourself to think that this particular conference is going to produce any kind of substantive change?
Well, the conference has actually been organized to become a launch pad for working groups. So after the second day of the conference, some of the attendees will go back to their institutions, but somewhere around 80 administrators, professionals from around the country will remain here and work for 2 days in working groups. And even that is just the beginning of a process. Those working groups are going to identify some of the key vexing issues that all universities have been facing. And they're going to start working on coming up with policies, protocols, guidelines, whatever is appropriate to answer those conflicts and those vexing issues. This work will go on for months. We expect possibly a year or more, and we will probably have a second conference to reconvene those working groups. The ultimate goal is to have really policies, papers, and so forth that universities around the country can draw from.
Policies and papers sound good on the one hand. On the other hand, with these activities continuing on a daily, if not weekly, basis, or weekly, if not daily, basis on college campuses, are you convinced that that somehow the problem can be handled immediately or sooner than the next conference time rolls around?
Well, realistically, I think the complexities are sort of deep enough that we aren't going to see sort of an immediate curtailment. As Fred was just referring to, the problem extends beyond the college campus. The fact is that our civilian criminal justice system has been extremely weak in dealing with these kinds of non-stranger sexual assaults. And that is actually one of the reasons why students who are sexually assaulted on college campuses are essentially voting with their feet and not going to the civilian system. Those that do report are much more likely to report only within the college or university. And that's one of the reasons why universities are dealing so extensively with this problem.
Why has the civilian sector been so weak? Fred mentioned the woman who spoke this morning who has been pushing DA's offices for prosecution of students accused of rape, and she's been doing so unsuccessfully, at least in her particular state. Why is it that they're so bad at handling these cases?
Well, unfortunately, this is a multi-century problem. This is nothing new. The criminal justice system for a long time has treated rape victims very, very poorly. And when it comes to non-stranger rape, to rapes where alcohol is involved, many jurisdictions have literally just simply punted. They've really just abdicated their role. And this has gone on for decades.
Okay, let me for one second, David.
Sure.
You've studied this so carefully. What's going on there? I mean, why should even the insertion of alcohol confound authorities who normally wouldn't have a problem dealing with cases like that?
Well, it shouldn't, but it has, and it does.
But can you say, why?
Yeah. Well, because the district attorneys and the assistant district attorneys who are there to handle these cases have not had the kind of training they need. They're confounded by these cases. They fear that juries will never convict on these cases. And part of that is that they have no training. They haven't had the kind of training to know how to deal with these issues. There are some experienced prosecutors around the country who have handled cases like this and done so successfully, but it does require a lot of training and experience, and up to now we just haven't had a mechanism for training prosecutors across the country.
And how has that had some kind of a trickle-down effect on the schools and the school administrators themselves?
Well, I think in a lot of cases, school administrators, especially those who are dealing with these cases, are often confounded by the same kinds of issues and questions. A lot of the training that I do, the question I'm asked most often is, how do we tell who's telling the truth? We have two parties, they say conflicting things, and we have to somehow figure out where the truth lies. And the fact is that when you run an investigation, you can't rely simply on statements from the two parties. You have to investigate thoroughly. You have to understand the issues, work closely with investigators, find other witnesses, corroborating evidence, and so forth. And sometimes that does help clarify, where that truth lies. But that takes specialized training and a real thorough understanding of the issues around sexual assault.
And is that kind of thing possible? I mean, you've talked a lot yourself about the perils of letting schools investigate these crimes on their own because they're not set up to do it correctly. Just as you say, in some cases, prosecutorial offices in the public sector aren't either. What in that case has to be done? I mean, what are the first steps?
Well, I think this goes back to your question of, how quickly can this change? I think what we're going to see, and we are seeing happening now, is the beginning of essentially a professionalization within colleges and universities of the investigative practices and how to investigate and how to adjudicate these cases. They are going to become increasingly sophisticated because, in a sense, they're taking on the role of the criminal justice system.
Where can you find a good role model? I mean, who are you talking about as or holding up as a really good example in terms of dealing with this on a college campus?
Well, there are one of the nice things about this conference is that we have people from all over the country. And really what we have are individuals from different campuses where on one campus you might have a good investigative sort of practice or a cadre of individuals who are doing the investigations. Other campuses have really refined the process well. What we don't have really, at least that I'm aware of, is a single institution where everything has come together. There's just simply too much right now that's in flux. So we have bits and pieces, and that's one reason why it's important to bring everybody together so we can bring those bits and pieces together.
Do you, in terms of the pieces that have to be brought together, I mean, there are an awful lot of moving parts. You have, of course, the perpetrators, or at least the accused, you have college administrators, you have at the federal government level, the Department of Education providing or not providing oversight of the prosecution or investigation of these cases. Do you feel as though you can really bring all of these moving pieces together in a conference like this, that it will become more than talk?
Well, we'll see. They're here. And
that's a start.
That's a start. And actually, this afternoon, we're going to have our first meeting with the conveners. So each of these working groups has an individual who is essentially going to be the chair of the group. So we're going to get them started. And first thing on Wednesday morning, the groups are going to get started on their work. And the other thing we're doing is that we are going to be passing the hat around universities around the country to pony up so that we have the funds to support these working groups in their work. And we fully intend to get those resources and to follow through to completion of this project.
Do you get the impression that the will is there?
You know, I think it is. And I think we have to thank for that the many students, the victims of sexual violence around the country who in the last 12 to 18 months have come forward in really staggering numbers and being willing to speak publicly. And they're the ones who have forced this issue. We now have a president who's had a news conference about this. We have senators who are holding hearings about it. It has created a lot of pressure, and that gives me optimism.
And some of your research, as Fred Tice mentioned earlier, also gives some of those present optimism. What in particular do you point to as reason for folks to believe that something good can come after a long time of bad news?
Well, I think we do know that serial perpetrators are at the core of this problem. At one level. At another level, of course, these perpetrators are operating within a culture that is still very much in many ways fostering sexual violence and all of the attitudes and behaviors that are precursors to sexual violence.
So, which is a huge issue.
It is a huge issue. So this is not just a matter of a sort of a criminal justice response. That has to be in place. We have to really perfect that. But we need to address this at a deeper cultural level at the same time. And for that, we're going to need leadership from university presidents and administrators.
It's just the start, isn't it, David?
It is.
Thank you for talking with us. David Lisek is a psychologist and former professor at UMass Boston. He has helped to organize the Summit on Sexual Violence this week at Dartmouth College. Nice to speak with you, and good luck.
Thanks very much.
And stay with us. Coming up, a true story about love, life, second chances, and changing the story in midlife. Gail Caldwell joins us to talk about her latest memoir, New Life, No Instructions. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. This is Radio Boston.